Hi, welcome to The Deadline. I'm Laura, your host and founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. And this is our wonderful little podcast.
Well,
I think it's wonderful.
Well, I don't know about little.
Yeah, I guess it's grown. And actually, we averaged at about 100 Podcast Alley for the month of February. We were in the top 100 for almost the whole month. So that's, and at one point, we were in the top 10. So we held the top 50 for a good 2 weeks or more.
Know.
So not bad. Vote for us. It's a new month. Don't forget, people. Keep voting. I'm going to send out a Yahoo blast, but still, keep voting, you know, because it really makes a difference. Tell your friends and people to vote at podcastalley.com for The Deadline. Anyway, moving along, let's do our meeting announcements, shall we? The first meeting will be in Hackettstown on March 20th, and that's at 293 Main Street in the Community Center. And the next meeting will be March 29th at the Bogota Recreation Center, located at 162 West Main Street in Bogota, and that is the Northeast Division, headed up by team leader Laura Lindman. And April 4th, we will have the Central Jersey Division team meeting, and that is in the Hazlitt Library, located at 251 Middle Road in Hazlitt. Sherry and Gregory Irish are the team leaders for the Central Jersey Division. All meetings are free and open to the public to attend if you're interested and you want to know what is this Ghost Hunter Society all about. That's the perfect venue for you to go and check us out and see if you want to become a member. If you do, you can pay for membership right then and there. It's only $20 lifetime. All meetings start promptly and end promptly. At 7 p.m. they start and they end at 8:30 p.m. So an hour and a half. We usually sometimes there's guest speakers, we cover different investigations that we've done, and there's always a share and scare segment. So if you have a picture that you're just not quite sure, what the hell is this, you take it to the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society meeting, the one that's closest to you, whether it's northwest, northeast, or central, and during share and scare, speak up. Let them take a look at it and see if they can tell you if it's dust, if it's smoke, or if it's the real deal. So anyway, so that should be good. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
Tired, but okay.
Tired from what? You don't do anything.
Wait, are you kidding? I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I battle Route 80. I get to work. I work all day, and I battle Route 80 to come home. And here we are doing this. And you, you've been here at work since what, 7 o'clock this morning?
About a quarter of.
Oh, God. It is now, people, even though, you know, in podcast time, it's different when you listen to this. But for us, it's right now 7:45 at night. So you've been here since 7 o'clock this morning. Oh, God. And I've been up since 5. I know, I know. But, you know, for the love of the ghosts, you got to do it, right? And the movie that I'm in opens this weekend. Woohoo! The Haunting of Danbury House. The premiere is set for 2 o'clock on Sunday, March 11th at the Bloomfield College in the Van Fossen, that's F-O-S-S-E-N, Theater, corner of Fremont and Franklin Streets in Bloomfield. So check it out, people. It's free admission, and it's The Haunting of Danbury House. This is, I think, Carl's masterpiece to date, Carl Petrie. Oh, you know what? Not only is Carl, I mean, cinematographically, how would you pronounce it? He's a good filmmaker, okay? Really good. He's very gifted in cinematography. That's what I want to say. And I know he does the whole, what is that? Forensic videography for courts and all kinds of things. So he's got, you know, the very technical, graphic kind of gross stuff that he has to film and deal with, but then he's got these the more movie stuff that he likes to do. But you know what? He's a very gifted psychic, and I'm really happy because Rosemary Ellen Guiley, an author, she's been at our Jersey Ghost conferences in the past, and she just did an article. I believe it's in the March issue of Fate magazine on Carl. Nice picture of him and everything, and finally, really bringing it out. He's stepping out of the psychic closet there and letting people know, yeah, I have this talent, have this ability.
So are you saying he's coming out of the closet?
The psychic closet.
Oh.
Really, there are a lot of psychics who stay, and they don't want people to know. They're afraid still to this day they'll get, you know, burned at the stake, or that people will think they're weird and shun them. But you know, God bless Carl. He has taken the step, and Rosemary did a beautiful, brilliant article on him. Nice picture. And I believe you can even check out the article. I think she posted on her website, visionaryliving.com. So you can read about Carl and his talent. It's amazing. I mean, here's an example from my own life, okay? One day he called me at work, and he said, you know, because I was having problems with the now ex at this time, and things were very strained and very stressful for me, and it was a dark period in my life, okay? And I'm still keeping up a brave face, going to work every day, just trying to get through all this. And I take the call from Carl, and he says, you know, I don't know what it is, but I keep seeing your ex driving by. Like, he's close, like he's almost has you under surveillance, like he keeps going back and forth past where you live. And I was like, wow, you know, I said, well, that could stand to reason, you know, because the ShopRite's down the street from me.
Right.
And that is the easiest, fastest way to get to it for him would be to have to drive by where my apartment is. So, and Carl was like, oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I could see that. He goes, I don't know. He goes, I got more of a sense of him leering and really looking, but okay. He's like, you're not bothered by that? I said, no, I mean, the guy's got to go to ShopRite like anybody else. I don't have a problem with that. So I just wrote it off. Sure as shooting, I get home that night. My then guy that I was dating, who was doing some work from home at the apartment, he was out on the balcony working out in the nice, nice sunny weather and working on his computer. He says, you know, I don't know if I should tell you this. It might upset you. I'm like, what? And he goes, well, I was working out on the porch. He goes, I'll never do that again. I'm like, why? He said, well, this kind of like whatever this truck thing was slowed down. And he said, I could tell that someone was looking. And he said, when I really looked, he said, I could tell it was your ex. And he was like the driver, but he was leaning and leering over the passenger seat to look out the passenger window, straining his neck to see me up on the balcony. And he goes, so I kind of like, and then the car took off. He said, I brought everything in. He goes, and no sooner did I come in, he said, maybe about half hour later, there was this pickup truck. He goes, do you know if he has any friends that have a pickup truck or something? That I suppose one friend has a truck. He goes, well, it was this kind of truck, and it came through the parking lot and was trying it like it was just combing through all the cars and went and surveilled the entire parking lot and then took off. He said, very suspicious. And I'm sitting there going, do-do-do-do-do-do, you know, because this is what Carl was saying. I get more of a sensation of he's really leering, really looking, and I'm like, those are the exact words Peter ends up saying. Well, this was like something he was really, you know, I'm like, oh, my God. So, yeah, you know, Carl has definitely got that psychic spark there. So, and then it makes you nervous, though. You know, like you're talking to him, you're kind of like, man, do I look him in the human eyes? Do I look him in the third eye? Do I just look at the wall and hope to God he doesn't see how screwed up I am inside? You know? It's like, because you stand there, you're like, oh, man, you know, you feel like he has x-ray vision. He's like, he's going to know, like, the tag on what it says on my VS bra, you know? Anyway, so, yeah, so catch The Haunting of Danbury House. It's going to, like I said, be free admission on Sunday, March 11th at 2 o'clock in the Bloomfield College Theater called the Van Fossen. Hey, we have a new contest. Now's your chance to win admission to the Ghost World Conference. You can attend the Ghost World Conference in July at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. All you have to do is record yourself telling or reading your favorite ghost story or experience. This can be from a published work or from one of your own investigations. Now, you can be as dramatic and creative as you want. In fact, the more the better. We're not looking for the humdrum read here, people. Come on, it's a podcast after all. We need the story to come alive for the listeners. You're not allowed to make up a ghost story or experience. Again, you can tell one that you sincerely experienced or one that is published in a book or article somewhere that you claim is your favorite of all time. Don't worry if we receive the same story from more than one person. Again, your creative and dramatic approach to the telling of the story is what will win you the votes. That's right, votes. In keeping with the American Idol approach, we will let our listeners decide on whose story and its telling is the best, and therefore who deserves to go to Ghost World Conference. Submit your recording no later than May 15, 2072, the deadline, at njghs.net. If the file is too big to email, then burn it off to a CD and snail mail it to The Deadline, P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey, 07054. Brian and I will review these recordings and play them on the show as well. We will narrow it down to the top five and place those recordings on the deadline page of the NJGHS website for voting. The voting will be from June 1st to 15th and the winner announced on the June 22nd podcast. In addition to admission to the Ghost World Conference, the winner will receive an NJGHS gift basket, including a bumper sticker, t-shirt, baseball hat, and an autographed copy of The Ghosts of Gettysburg by Mark Nesbitt. Winner is responsible for all costs. This is including travel, lodging, meals, expenses incurred while at the conference. Basically, we get you there, people. That's it. Okay, a room will be held at the Ghost World Conference rate of $119 at the Wyndham Gateway Gettysburg, but the winner is responsible for payment of this cost. Even if you have already registered for the conference, you may enter this contest. If you win, your registration fee will be refunded to you by the NJGHS, and you will get the basket of goodies as specified prior. So get to it. Record your MP3 or WAV file and email it or snail mail it to the deadline. All these details will be on the NJGHS.net website. Good luck. Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net or send your check or money order payable to Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey 07054. Happy haunting.
I'm Philip Keeler from the Strange But True radio podcast, the aim to bring you the latest paranormal or just plain weird news from around the world. We've spoken to some of the biggest names in the business. How about TV's medium, Colin Fry?
I've been a working medium now for so many years. I mean, 27 years now. And I do actually say on my big national tour, you know, when I introduce the show, I'm not out to convert anybody. I'm not out to change anybody's opinions or views.
Alongside the big interviews, our reporters, Steve and Joe Farmer, go ghost investigating.
The moment we're sitting upstairs at Red Lion at Avebury in the Keller Room, obviously what we hope to get this evening is evidence of any supernatural goings on within the pub.
Me and Steve have been doing investigating for about 3 years now. We do it in our part time, so anybody could become a paranormal investigator. You've just got to not be scared of dark places.
Download the Strange But True radio podcast.
Hey, welcome back. It's time for Parashares, and here we are. We have none to share. However, thankfully, for News of the Weird, we have some News of the Weird to share with you. Our first story takes us down to Chile. Our Chilean artist, Marco Evaristi. I can't even say it. Whatever. Marco. He was serving dinner to friends at a gallery in Santiago in January, and he presented a dish of meatballs that he said had been cooked using liposuctioned fat from his own body. Yum, yum. The question of whether or not to eat human flesh is more important than the result, he said. You are not a cannibal if you eat art. Okay. Now, this is also the same guy, the same artist, who once put a live fish in a blender at a gallery and invited guests to push the button. That is disgusting and cruel. I'm sorry. But then again, this is the same guy that's serving cooked liposuctioned fat, so...
Ugh.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Now, at the recommendation of the Unipart consulting firm, bureaucrats at the British Revenue and Customs Office in Long Benton had strips of black tape applied to their desktops. We're talking the real desk, people, not desktop like a kind of computer. Desk, you know, where you sit. Okay, so they stuck black tape to mark where the certain items should be placed for better organization. This is the British for you. I mean, that's like just too anal for my liking. Then, get this, a 73-year-old man died of a heart attack in North London in January, perhaps assisted by a delay in responding by the London Ambulance Service. According to The Sun, the newspaper over there, the nearest crew could not be called because European Union labor rules prevent disturbing the crew for any reason during the first 20 minutes of their half-hour break. Now, they let somebody die. A 73-year-old man, they just let him suffer and die from his heart attack because it was in the first 20 minutes of their union labor break. That's, you know...
What can you do?
Something's wrong. But then, you know, this I'm really beginning to get a clearer picture of the British here, you know. Having to work for a British-owned company, I can tell you, some of the things are just not balanced. Like, in one breath, it's we're going... green, we're going to be eco-friendly, here's your blanket, now get to work, we're not going to crank the heat. They literally made us turn in our space heaters and they issued us purple blankets. Okay, now then you're sitting there with a blanket freezing trying to work, and you know, okay, never mind the fact that they'll then toss money out the window to have all these off-site meetings to talk about passion for people. And you're sitting there going, well, I'd be a lot more passionate if I had my heater back.
A little bit more compassion, you know?
It's like, I don't get this. I mean, in one breath, you want to save the world and be eco-friendly. In the next breath, they're like, here, make 12 binders. Print all this stuff out, make all these tabs. Oop, changed our mind. Print more tabs. Print this, print that, print. And I'm sitting there going, we just slaughtered one-third of the rainforest while you were making up and changing your minds on these binders. Never mind the fact that you all have laptops. All you had to do was just plug in and there's the file. There it is. Gosh, I could even burn it off to a CD-ROM for you, and you can carry around this little disc versus a 3-inch thick binder, you know, but, yeah.
But that's why they're the boss.
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, reading these stories in News of the Weird, and they're both taking place in London or in Britain, I'm like, yep, that, I get it. This whole back-ass word mentality, got it. This is why we won. This is why we Americans won the Revolutionary War, because they were sitting there putting their little tape on the pistols and figuring out where everything was going to go, and we killed them. You know? It's like,
yes,
pretty easy.
It's all digression.
Yes, I know. Okay, anyway, so that's that part. Moving on. In November, Robert Hanna, 42, of Meadville, Pennsylvania, reported that he had just shot a deer. Oh boy. And was about to come down from his tree stand when three armed men happened along and deer-jacked him. You heard it right, folks. He was deer-jacked. He was knocked to the ground while they were stealing his bounty. Now you just don't get any more Pennsylvania than that. What's wrong? Oh! And prior to that... Okay, during an 8-day... Now, wait till you hear this. Talk about questionable judgments, people. During an 8-day period around New Year's in the Chicago area, thieves stole tractor trailers filled with, respectively, broccoli and asparagus. Yeah, it took a bit gassy of a vegetable, I tell ya. Now, for 2 years... Estrella Benavides, 46, has been painting messages on her house in San Mateo, California. And her prolificness has escalated to the point where all outside surfaces, including the roof, are covered with cryptic references to the Bible, conspiracy theories, and episodes from her own life. And a local community board gave her a February deadline to remove the writing or pay a fine of $50 a day. Benavides has said she can't remove the messages because they come from God and expose a worldwide mind control cable that uses witchcraft and technology, and that this is the only way she knows to warn people. According to court documents cited by InsideBayArea.com, her life has spiraled downward since she lost custody of her young son. Yeah, you know, I think the court did a good job on that one, you know? Pretty safe bet.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. Okay, next thing you know, she'd be like writing all over the kid's forehead and sending him to school with some cryptic messages. Now, get this. Police in Lilburn, Georgia, were called to the cemetery adjacent to the Lux Omni Baptist Church at 2:40 a.m. one morning in January to investigate reports of a man screaming for about 2 hours. They found Ezekiel De Jesus Rodriguez, 24, pinned under a gravestone with a bloody, broken leg, and said he had apparently been knocking over headstones for fun until one fell on him. There you go. See, and this is why when we ghost hunt, we don't knock things over. We're very reverent and respectful in the cemetery. And this is why. You could be screwing around like he was, and look what happened. 2 hours he had to lay there, writhing and screaming in pain with a broken leg. Oh. Serves you right.
Wow, you must have a heck of a voice screaming for 2 hours.
Well, you know what? If he went into shock, once your body goes into shock, I mean, you don't even realize. You could be looking at your leg snapped in two, and you just don't feel it, you know?
After a while, screaming for 2 hours, your voice would just be hoarse and no one would hear it.
Oh, believe me, I've heard men at football games. My God, they can scream for hours. It's just, you know, that doesn't matter. Especially if you're in shock, you wouldn't even feel the pain of your voice. I remember children, my God, when I did daycare, and the babies, they could scream for 4 hours at a clip. Oh, God. Anyway, so that's your news of the weird. Any news of yours to add, Brian?
Sorry, none.
None?
None.
Any other movies, anything you've done lately? Or?
Not since the last podcast.
See, people, we don't get out much. I think this is it. This is the most like Brian and I get out. It's like, oh, we got our podcast to record tonight. It's like, wow. Who has time these days, you know? Between work and life
and bills.
Yeah, you know? It's just amazing. But I'm glad we have the ghost investigation coming up on Friday the 16th. That should be pretty cool. And I think I need to hear from a couple. There were a couple more people who took flyers in my email address at that presentation I did back in February that haven't reached out to me. I'm hoping they do. Oh, and I think it's probably too late. There's a paper. A newspaper was at the presentation I did on February 26th. I think he said the name of it's called The Eagle, and I don't know if they're out of Clark or what. But he called me the next day, and he interviewed me with some questions over the phone. So I said, please, you know, when the article comes out, would you send me a copy? He goes, well, I can email it to you. I'm like, fine, you know, at least so I can put it in our scrapbook, you know.
Something.
Yeah. And I have two more memberships to process, which is going to put us at 439.
And don't forget what's coming up, March 10th.
March 10th. I know
this. Dish Network.
Oh, that's right. That on the 10th, I thought it was the 12th it was going to air. No, it was the 12th.
12th.
Because the 11th is Danbury House, and I knew when she said the date, I'm like, oh, that's the day after. Monday the 12th. Monday the March 12th, if you have Dish Network, you can catch Magnificent Obsessions. Point at me and laugh, yes. Because I have no idea.
Yeah.
Not now, Brian, but then, yeah. We don't even know what it's going to look like.
Nope.
Because she said we're not allowed to have a copy of it until it actually airs.
All I know is that package better be postmarked March 12th.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I'm very curious to see this. If it's decent, I'll show it at the meetings. Otherwise, it's just file 13. Yes, there we go.
And then March 31st?
Eastern State Penitentiary. Yep. Brian will be taking another team.
Hopefully it'll be warm.
Yeah. But he'll have another team of people to be certified as paranormal investigators doing their 4-hour training stint at Eastern State Penitentiary in lovely Philadelphia, PA. So that should be good.
Yes, even though I'm kind of iffy about Eastern State, I'm kind of getting pissed at them.
Why? They're amazing.
Well, they had some TAPS people doing an investigation there. And We've been told that it's only a 4-hour investigation no matter what. 10 to 2, that's it.
Right.
But they come in and all of a sudden they're allowed
all night
to do it.
Same with Vince. Vince Wilson has taken a crew of people in and they're doing an all-nighter. And I'm like, well, how is that possible when I have done so much promotion for this thing? And
exactly. Is all this money we give them? And
yeah. And we don't get all-nighters.
We get nothing.
Yeah, I don't think they've ever paid for our parking. All the times we've driven down there and paid $10 to
absolutely
park and go in and do filming and interviewing, and we tout it on the show.
You did get to go to see Terror Behind the Walls as a VIP.
That's true. The 1 year, yes. Actually, yeah, there was 4 VIP passes for me and the hubby, and you got the attaboy.
I got diddly squat.
But, I don't know. Not that I'd want to really be in there all night, but...
Well, I mean, not that, each week let's go do a whole night thing. But, once in a while, it's nice to, it's nice to just sit in that center.
What about Fort Mifflin?
I'm still waiting. It's tough to get a hold of somebody there.
Oh, okay. Because that's one we were targeting as a really good outing as an all-nighter, right?
Because they do sleepovers there. They actually have rooms and stuff that you can go and sleep in.
That would be awesome.
But like I said, but Eastern State, it's just nice to sit in that central rotunda and just sit there and just listen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
That cell block 12 was pretty cool, though.
Yes.
That was pretty good with the results and stuff. I'm anxious to see on Magnificent Obsessions how they took the photos that I gave them and... if they piece them in the right order and how it can show that this guy... Remember our guide that we had that night? Was he Gary? Was his name Gary?
Gary.
From Eastern State.
John?
Oh, it escapes me. Well, you could see... He was a good indicator because he kind of would wander like up the side wall there and then come back. So as my pictures, you could see how the orbs were really... coming closer and then vanishing and fading away, and you could see him in different frames in different positions, so you could see like a time elapse, basically. It's pretty cool.
Magnificent Obsessions, we have your address. We better look good.
There's no hope for me there, but at least I know, but they did the best they could. I mean, I couldn't believe how they like transformed my apartment when they came on the next day of filming, put up all this black material and darkened it, and I have that nice candle screen.
Right, yeah, I remember.
And they did all that. They lit all the tea lights behind me and a blue thing, and it's like I look, they made the one girl, Robin, sit in the chair so I could go to where Lincoln was and look at the monitor, and I'm like, it looks so cool. I'm like, it doesn't even look like you're in my apartment, it's amazing. It looks like we're in some studio somewhere, and... So that was good, and then I told you how it worked out good that day. We went to Charlie Brown's for lunch, and Giovanni, the manager, was there and gave us our own room to sit in and told us how we had an experience that very morning. And
yeah, don't worry, I'll go down to the training session. I'll make sure to get down there early enough to go to Zorba's.
Bring me back some stuffed grape leaves. I love those things. God, they're really... Yeah, good old Zorba's. I think they're on the web now. Are they at Zorba's.com or Zorba'sRestaurant.com? Something like that, but... If you ever get down to Philadelphia, it's right down the street from Eastern State Penitentiary, so definitely eat at Zorba's.
Actually, the easiest way to find out is go to the parking lot right next to it, walk straight out the main gate. It's right there.
Yeah. That's what's so nice, because you can park in there, your car is safe, you go across the street, eat, go up the street, investigate, back down to the car, go home.
Or investigate and go to the bar right across the street.
Oh, yeah. Figure she'd know all the parts. The last time, were you with me the last time we were down there and having that big party?
Yes. That's when we did Magnificent Obsessions.
Right.
They had their Christmas party.
They were having their Christmas party. And Brian and I go into the main office so I can go in and use the potty before we get on the road. And they're like having this big party.
They're snookered.
Oh, they were. But did you see the length and the artillery on that bar? I mean, they had every liquor and they had barrels of those huge steel drum size things filled with ice and beer bottles of every kind. And I was like, wow. And they're like, oh, got you. Everybody was coming up to us. We're like, oh, you should catch up. Remember that? And we're like, no, thanks. We got a long drive home.
Wait, what do you mean we have a long drive home?
Well, you drove from there to your place, right? And then I drove from your place back to my place.
You had a nice nap.
I had to. Remember how sick I was? Oh, God, it was only like a few weeks after major surgery. I was sick as a dog. Like 2 days before, I had gotten into a car accident. And I remember telling you, I was like, damn it, if I can push through pain to go to a job I don't like, then I'm going to push through it to do something I do like. And they were very understanding. Robin kept telling me, she's like, if you need a break, yep, you need to sit down, we'll take a break. And we did it. I mean, and that was, what, a good 12-hour day we put in filming that day, right? We got there at, what, 1 o'clock?
Yeah, probably. We were done by about 8 or 9, somewhere around there.
So, yeah, it wasn't 12 hours, but it was like, by the time I drove all the way home, it was...
Robin, we're available, especially if you're paying for Zorba's again.
Yeah. But yeah, so that'll be interesting to see how it comes out. I hope the part they did with the ghost thing in the end worked out.
Looking forward to seeing it.
Yep. All right, so stay tuned, people.
The largest and most comprehensive ghost conference the paranormal world has ever seen is coming to Gettysburg July 20th to 22nd, 2007 at the newly constructed Wyndham Gettysburg Hotel and Conference Center. At this supernatural summit will be close to 3,000 square feet of space where the paranormal community will come together toward excellence in the field of study as well as establish standards and protocols in the science of supernatural research. Best-selling authors and paranormal presenters include John Zaffis, Mark Skuerman, Mark Moran, Jeff Belanger, Charles Ammons III, Troy Taylor, and Vince Wilson. Special event co-hosts will be none other than Mark Nesbitt, author of the Ghost of Gettysburg series. Ghost hunters, be prepared to shop the largest paranormal trade show with vendors of ghost hunting gear, authors and books, and other fascinating otherworldly goods. Register for one of the intensive workshops, take a ghost tour with Mark Nesbitt aboard a train, or tune into the dead with Jane Doherty, psychic medium. All details are at the Ghost World Conference website at www.ghostworldconference.com. Register online at the site www.ghostworldconference.com with PayPal, Visa, MasterCard, or e-check. Group discounts available for groups of 10 or more. Please email info@ghostworldconference.com for details. All sales are final. Ghost World Conference is a production of Ghost World LLC with sponsorship by X-Zone Radio.
If you're ready to take your ghost hunting to the next level, you're ready to be a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. The certification includes 4 hours of hands-on, concentrated training by the NJGHS leaders at the most haunted prison in the United States, Eastern State Penitentiary, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. To participate, you must have all of your own equipment. Register online at the NJGHS.net website certification page. Costs are $125 for current members and $145 for non-members of the NJGHS who will receive their membership going forward. PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa are accepted. Upon completion of the course, submission of your report of findings, and achieving a total point score of 80 or better, you will receive your certificate and new certified paranormal investigator card from the NJGHS. All the details are on the certification page of the NJGHS.net website. So what are you waiting for? Take your hobby seriously. Become a certified paranormal investigator.
Okay, it's time for haunted trivia. Now, last week you were asked, why was Anne Boleyn decapitated? What was the charge? The answer, infidelity. In the 16th century, this equated to treason against the high crown.
It should be the same way now.
Please, chop her head off.
It is.
Or chop, yeah. Lorena Bobbitt style. But, yeah, that's what it was. And you know what? They know pretty much that she was not guilty of that. It was just, I think Henry VIII had to come up with some way to get rid of her so he could have another wife. Because who was it? Was it Jane Seymour or something he wanted to be with? And that's why he offed Anne Boleyn? I forget. In Britain, the kids are taught, they have a rhyme that names all of Henry VIII's wives, and it's done in a rhyming sense, so you can get all their names right. But I forget how it goes.
So that's why we're here in America.
Yeah. We don't worry about stuff like that. Oh, God.
We just have to worry about Bush.
Some guys don't worry about it. They get enough of
it. Some girls do.
Okay, PG-13, thank you. So this week's Haunted Trivia has a skill level of somewhat challenging. Yale University in New Haven, Connecticut has a haunted musical instrument. Jeez. At last count.
Skin flute?
No. Like, how do we go from Bush to this? At last count, it was housed in the Woolsey Hall. You just can't make this up, you know? Workers who have been near this instrument report an unpleasant and uncomfortable presence. The last person to play this instrument was Frank Bozian in the 1970s. Is it he who haunts this instrument, or perhaps the professor who was forced into retirement in the 1940s and died a bitter man? Well, if you know the answer of what this particular instrument is that's haunted up at Yale University, be the first person to email that correct answer to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net, and you'll win the Junior Ghost Hunters t-shirt. So I'm looking forward to seeing how many people get this right. And I'll give you a hint. The instrument that Brian just named is not it.
It's close.
Yes. Oh, gosh, excuse me.
Don't hit the mic.
I'm sorry. I know. That's going to be like people, eardrums are going to be blown out if they're listening on their iPods. That was the pen that hit the microphone as I turned to cough. Sorry. Anyway, so don't forget to register for Ghost World Conference out in Gettysburg. It's ghostworldconference.com. You can register online, check out who the speakers are, the agenda, all the cool stuff we have going on. If you're a member of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society and you want the buddy rate of $85, make sure you email me, laurah@njghs.net, register before April 30th, 2007. And stay tuned to the njghs.net website for all the latest and greatest info, and join our Yahoo group so you always get the updates for investigations, cemetery hunts, and what have you. Anything else to add, Brian?
No, I think you pretty much said it all.
Okay. So thanks to Brian Sant, the NJGHS technician and producer of The Deadline.
Hail to the king.
Our team leaders, Gregory and Sherry Irish and Laura Lindemann. And thanks to you, Don Slepian of donslepian.com, for our theme song. And thanks to all of you for listening. Keep downloading the shows weekly, because at some point in life, you have to meet the deadline.